Before the City Council is gaveled to order officially, I want to read the following proclamation that is an observation of this month. So if you'd like to introduce yourselves first.
My name is Tess Baldwin. I'm the board president for Young Professionals of Portland.
Hi, I'm Shabri Vickers, the vice president of civic involvement for Young Professionals of Portland.
And Seth Warren, president-elect for Young Professionals of Portland.
And what is PY, sorry.
YPOP.
YPOP. What is the mission of YPOP?
The mission is that it's an organization representing Portland's next generation of leaders. It's the premier resource for young professionals who desire to grow their business and expand their networks. And the primary goal of YPOP is to provide a forum for young professionals to grow professionally, personally, through social, educational, and civic opportunities.
Great. Well, we'll read the following proclamation. Whereas young professionals in our Portland community come together and provide fresh perspectives in their everyday workplace, and whereas they continue to be an integral part of our community through their passionate engagement in civic involvement, and whereas young professionals of Portland are innovative thinkers and contribute to the economy and community, and whereas they are the lifeblood that will perpetuate this great city's engagement in local and regional issues that make a difference to our community members, and whereas not only do the young professionals of Portland work here, but they live here and plan to grow their families here to become our future leaders, and whereas these emerging leaders come together in many ways throughout the year, and whereas to ensure we continue to be a viable city through their outreach to help us move forward, now therefore I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim November 2010 to be Young Professionals of Portland Civic Involvement Month and encourage all residents to observe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. City Council will come to order. We'll begin our day with, today is Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010. It's 9:30 a.m. We have five communications. Can you please read communications item number 1414?
Do a roll call first.
Oh, yes, sir.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Now, can you please read item number 1414?
Request of David Megan to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Mr. Megan? All right. Please read item 1415.
Request of Randy Toole to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Mr. Toole? All right. Can you please read item 1416?
Request of Victor Mena to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Mr. Mena, can you please read item 1417?
Request of Melissa Sarabia to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Ms. Sarabia, can you please read item number 1418?
Request of Lou Church to address council regarding activism and social justice.
All right. Hi, Lou.
Morning.
Welcome back.
I'm Lou with PSU, Progressive Student Union, and Transit Riders Union. I want to address the issues of ballots, boycotts, transit, and housing. On the West Coast, congratulations to Jerry Brown and Harry Reid, and hopefully Barbara Boxer and Patty Murray. Unlike the apparent failure of voter-owned elections here, it appears Jerry Brown and Barbara Boxer defeated the multimillion-dollar campaigns of Republican capitalists Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina. Also locally, also unfortunately, it appears both the TriMet $125 million tax measure and Bob Stacey appear to be losing. As noted in the past, Progressive Student Union and Transit Riders Union believe in boycotts as well as ballots, like Dr. King and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. We continue to organize and support the Reedville Cafe boycott to elect the TriMet board and stop the fare hikes and service cuts. Rick Van Beveren, the unelected TriMet board president, owns the Reedville Cafe in Hillsboro. Van Beveren held the May primary victory party for Tom Hughes at the Reedville Cafe. Van Beveren opposes, like Tom Hughes, having the TriMet board elected. Van Beveren has voted for every fare hike and every service cut over the past 2 years. Boycott Reedville Cafe. Transit Riders Union also wants to highlight, particularly in light of Citizens United and Karl Rove's group, the Anti-American Crossroads, the continuing pernicious role of Portland Business Alliance. PBA donated, apparently, reportedly, $50,000 to successfully defeat veteran-owned elections. And PBA donated, reportedly, $10,000 to apparently successfully defeat Bob Stacey for Metro President. Transit Riders Union picketed PBA once and will picket PBA again. Lastly, Tenant Rights Project, another of our primary projects, along with Transit Riders Union, continues to organize for tenant rights vis-a-vis landlords, Central City Unconcerned, Housing Authority of Portland, and Pinnacle Management. Like transit riders, tenants are a marginalized group who will benefit from our overturning the influence nationally and locally of Citizens United, and in Portland, counteracting the pernicious, pervasive influence of Karl Rove's Munchkins, the Portland Business Alliance.
Thank you, Lou. We'll now consider the consent agenda item. I understand 1434 is pulled to the regular agenda.
Mayor Adams, 1433 also needs to be pulled. And on 1434, we're more than happy to have a council discussion. I would ask my colleagues, though, that if we could have up to maybe 24 hours notice of a colleague pulling a matter so we can have adequate staff presence for that issue.
Okay. So what do you want to do with 1433? Does it go to regular agenda or back to
It goes to regular. I just have to do an amendment.
So 1433 goes to the regular agenda. 1434 will go with 1439. Is that correct? So anyone else wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? All right. Carla, can you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Consent agenda is approved. We'll now proceed with time certain, starting with the 9:30 time certain. Can you please read the title for this report?
Item 1419, report to council on gray to green update.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I think many people, when they think of the Bureau of Environmental Services, they think of the Big Pipe Project, which is our gigantic pipes underneath the Willamette, or running alongside the Willamette and underneath the Willamette, in the effort to help in combined sewage overflows both in the Slough and in the Willamette River. But what people don't often realize about the Bureau of Environmental Services is its responsibilities for green infrastructure, for protecting natural areas, for restoring watersheds to healthy conditions, and many other things that contribute not only to cleaner rivers but to better quality of life in our city for our residents. And in a morning where we could probably all use some good news, this report should provide some. In 2008, under the leadership of then-Commissioner Adams, City Council approved funding in the Bureau of Environmental Services to accelerate efforts in restoring watershed health, protecting rivers and streams, and fostering cutting-edge green technologies and industries. This initiative was dubbed Gray to Green. And while the gray, or the pipe infrastructure, will always be a critical part of our stormwater management infrastructure, this council recognizes that using green approaches and partnering with folks outside of government is often a more cost-effective way to manage our stormwater utility. It also creates sustainable jobs in the community that provide opportunities for business expansion and retention. Our burgeoning local eco-roof industry is one example. The Gray to Green initiative was envisioned as a 5-year effort, and we are now at the halfway point. So a key to its success is the work that private business, other government agencies, and community partners have played in reaching Gray to Green's targets. So today we're going to have Bureau of Environmental Services Dean Marriott and Danella Cargill, who is program manager, make a presentation. And then I will have, I believe, one panel, and that will be Dave McAllister from Parks and Recreation, Scott Fogarty with Friends of Trees, Bob Salinger with Audubon, Portland Audubon, and Matt Clark with Johnson Creek Watershed Council. So thank you all for being here, and I'll turn it over to Dean or Danella, one of the two.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mayor Adams, members of the council, I'm Dean Marriott, Environmental Services Director, and as Commissioner Salzman mentioned, with me is Danella Broad-Cargill, who is the person in charge of pulling together all the information and reporting on the Greater Green efforts. First, although Danella has done and continues to do and will continue to do a great job of shepherding and cajoling and encouraging people to participate and to make the targets for Greater Green, it is literally a team effort, not only in environmental services, but across the city with other agencies. So it's as the Commissioner mentioned, we'll also talk a little bit about the partnerships we've been able to develop with the private sector, because this is not only this you'll see some evidence of what we all talk about, the green jobs, and you'll see some evidence of some success in Portland for generating some green jobs. So Danella's going to start the slideshow. Just have a couple of introductory comments before I turn it over to her. As Commissioner Salzman mentioned, we're just about halfway through the five-year initiative. I want to emphasize that we viewed this as a real a booster pack onto our efforts. We have begun work in green infrastructure many years ago, but the Greater Green Initiative was to really put it into overdrive and to get out there and set some specific goals and targets and to really lay down some markers for us to meet to demonstrate that the green infrastructure does work, it is cost effective. And I think what you'll see today is evidence that that has been a success, and we look forward to coming back to you periodically to report on the progress with Greater Green. And with that, I'll turn it over to Danella, who will lead you through a short slide presentation.
Thank you. Danella Broad-Cargill with Environmental Services. 2008, City Council approved additional funding to accelerate work in transforming our approach to infrastructure from gray to something that's a little more green. What we hope to do in this presentation is give you an update now that we're halfway through our five-year timeframe. With $55 million of city seed money, these programs have catalyzed the green trajectory we are already on and infused the community with hope and energy for Portland's green future. Taken as a whole, Portland is a leading example in the green infrastructure movement because we take a holistic view and think of the whole watershed and the multiple tools to get the work done. Portland is also known as a leader in partnerships and the building of programs with the input of community. On the screen are pictures of three of the Greater Green elements, an eco roof, a tree planting, and a green street facility. Greater Green is a commitment to trying new approaches to old problems. Historically, the city considered stormwater a waste, and our streams and rivers degraded over time because of it. Greater Green is an infusion of green approaches into our gray system and way of doing things. We are here to update you on how we're doing and to say thank you to City Council for supporting these new approaches. These are the things we're going to talk about today. We're going to cover the initiative background and where we've come, accomplishments in the seven Greater Green elements, including the program highlights, things we have to celebrate, some of our challenges, where we're headed, and then after the presentation, we're going to hear from some of our key partners. This slide puts us where we are in time. We are halfway through the five-year initiative. Before the five-year time frame, and started in 2008, we were following the watershed approach. But with this infusion of resources, we were able to accelerate elements of our implementation. The Greater Green Initiative gave us $55 million of new capital and operating dollars. We added this to the staff and resources already working on watershed health improvement. When we launched the initiative, we had some key assumptions. Rely on partnerships and capacity in other bureaus, collaborate with community partners, build ramp-up time into our programs, and count on private development and property owner investment to deliver our targets. As planned, we are on a solid ramp up. Programs and capacity are ramping up to meet ambitious targets. Although the targets seemed nearly impossible 2.5 years ago, we are seeing positive results in all program areas. We are also building civic infrastructure. We define this as organizational partnerships, community stewardship and involvement, and private industry development. This is civic infrastructure, a neighborhood planting day at Friends of Trees. Kids learning where pollution starts using a watershed model. School children planting trees. A mini eco roof example. And people wanting to understand the plants in their own backyard at a community event sponsored by BES. Civic infrastructure is people doing things in their own backyards, business partnerships, and community building. We are doing all of this while we're meeting targets. The Gray to Green initiative focused on 7 key program elements. We are now going to transition into quick updates on each of these. We'll start with Green Streets. It's been one of our most successful program areas. Remember, the Green Streets approach gets you increased capacity in our pipes at lower cost with more benefits. We have a target of 920 facilities. So far, we've built 352, added to the 475 we had before Gray to Green started. Although we've completed 352, we are on track to meet or exceed our targets. Yard and street trees. These are trees planted in our urban area. They do not include trees we plant in natural settings. We are managing rain where it falls, so we designed a program that plants yard and street trees. Our street and yard tree program includes a contract with Friends of Trees, a tree bait for property owners who plant a tree on their property, ratepayers, a partnership with parks to revive their school yard tree program and their tree steward program, and a contract with other BES contractors where neighborhood Friends of Trees planting days do not meet our needs. The green infrastructure benefits here are healthier communities, better wildlife habitat, and better air quality.
Who was that handsome guy? I don't know.
Manly. We have a target of...
It's very manly.
Yes.
It's a shovel.
And Dan. We have a target of 83,000 trees. So far, we planted 17,400. This is a 500% increase over the number of trees planted before Gray to Green. Eco-roofs. Eco-roofs in Portland come in all shapes and sizes. You'll be hearing more about this program later in the year. We have a target of 1.9 million square feet. So far, we've built about 250,000 square feet. This is equal to 100 roofs completed. A local eco-roof industry has been created. In terms of numbers, we know that 5 more firms have been created, specialized, or relocated in Portland since the beginning of this initiative. The program is also creating job opportunities for minority and small businesses. Revegetation. These trees are different from street and yard trees. These are the natural area trees and typically seedlings. This is a program we started over 10 years ago, largely in response to needing to control temperature in our streams and rivers. We have a 5-year target of 350 acres. So far, we've planted 300. The highlight here is that we're developing and have large institutional partnerships with ODOT and OHSU to get more trees planted faster. Culverts. Our efforts on culverts are focused on Crystal Springs, which you heard about earlier this year. The picture on the right is the one that's been completed so far. It's retrofitted. And we're taking a holistic view of our work in Crystal Springs. With our Gray to Green resources, we have focused our dollars to get high impact. We have multiple partners, and we are on target to meet our 8 by leveraging our dollars 2 to 1. Land acquisition. This is a photo of some of the resources we have on the East Butte of Johnson Creek. Land acquisition is part of Greater Green because protecting the headwater butte areas is cheaper than treating and restoring the functions once development occurs. We have a target of 419 acres. So far, we have 104 acquired or in escrow. The highlight here is that the focus on headwater areas has drawn regional partners to the table for a long-term effort. This photo is also a butte in Johnson Creek. This is what we can't afford to happen to our buttes. We've learned that it's not enough to focus where the water ends up. We have to focus where it falls. And this is a photo of the Baltimore Woods property, a recent acquisition in the Willamette watershed. Here's a map of the land acquired to date. It totals 63 acres citywide. Invasive plants. The picture on the left is Youth Corps doing some work, and the mysterious plant on the right is called giant hogweed. If you come in contact with the stalk of this plant, your skin will flare up in red raised blisters. We have a 5-year target of 800 acres of early detection rapid response treatment. This is spot treatment of the most aggressive weed species with the intent of keeping them under control before they become problems like ivy and blackberry. We've completed 506. The highlight here is that the city is considered a leader in the statewide effort to control invasive weeds. Many people are interested and consider the city the go-to place for information. As you know, our invasive plants program also includes a partnership with Portland Parks with a program called Protect the Best, where we manage the weeds in areas such as Forest Park, where we have some of our highest natural valued natural resources. We have a lot to celebrate. Our community partnerships are exceeding expectations. We are building civic infrastructure. Our partnerships are getting stronger. Our programs are ramping up and integrating into the daily work of BES and other partners. Greater Green was meant to be a catalyst, and it's working. We're getting national attention for our eco roofs, our yard and street tree program, and our ecosystem services report is getting a lot of interest. We are on the cutting edge of work being done to quantify benefits like health and energy, benefits we typically think of as qualitative only. So we do have some challenges. For some of our Greater Green elements, we foresee needing a couple more years to meet the targets. Early assumptions have not panned out as we've expected. The private market slowdown has impacted our projections for the number of eco-roofs we expect to get in the 5-year time frame. Developing a truly comprehensive program coordinated with important partners takes time. We have found this to be especially true for street trees. And to meet our aggressive targets for land acquisition, we need time to develop lasting relationships and solidify matching funds. The challenge of protecting our investment has become most apparent as we've looked into the future of green streets and street trees in the natural areas we are acquiring. With our limited resource environment, we have to be cost-effective in our management, get on the trajectory to managing the resources so they provide the full ecological benefits, and meet community expectations about how things look. So where are we headed? As we grow our green infrastructure inventory, it puts pressure on maintenance. We are evaluating bureau priorities and considering trade-offs. We realize we can't take care of our green assets using the same models and approaches we have developed for years for our gray system. We are looking to new ways to doing our maintenance work, new ways that rely on partnerships between government and the private sector, and partnerships between government and the community. We are connecting the dots. We know we don't want our dollars going down the drain, and we don't want unhealthy watersheds with erosion, mismanaged stormwater, and the natural hazards that come along if we put development in areas that would have been better if we left them in their natural state. Connecting the dots is about getting the results we want, avoiding the costs we don't, people are involved, and it's affordable. This is all tied back to the watershed management plan and our responsibility to show results in our watersheds and to our regulatory community. Most simply put, investing in green produces benefits and shows results. Internally at BES, we are integrating green infrastructure into asset management. We are bringing together our best thinking about ecosystems with our best engineering thinking. We are also seeing an expansion of civic infrastructure in Portland. Through partnerships like Intertwine and others, we are investing in our local community with green infrastructure, and it's working. We are taking a long-sighted, not short-sighted view, and Portland is better for it. Thank you. That closes our presentation for today. Before we answer any questions you have and then hand it over to our special guests, I wanted to acknowledge and thank the staff leads for this effort. Tim Kurtz, Jennifer Karps, Amy Chomowitz and Matt Berlin, Mitch Bixby and our new invasives coordinator, Dominic, James Allison, Shayna Anderson, and Chad Smith. This initiative wouldn't be what it is without their dedication and hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, Donella. So now we'll have...
Should we bring the panel up? And then we'll be available for questions.
Great.
Afterwards.
Matt Clark, Dave McAllister, Scott Fogarty, and Bob Salinger. Welcome.
Thank you.
We start with Matt.
Great. I'm thrilled to be going first.
Just give us your name and affiliation again.
My name is Matt Clark. I'm the director of Johnson Creek Watershed Council, and I'm here today as one of the City of Portland's partners in protecting and enhancing our shared natural resources. First, I want to thank you for funding the Greater Green Initiative. This money is needed for the long-term health of our creeks, urban forests, watersheds, and for the fish, wildlife, and the people that rely on the services that they provide. Second, I want to share with you how effectively we, the Watershed Council and the city, complement each other's work. And this is not an accident. This is a deliberate and thoughtful partnership, and it's made each of us more effective than we would be alone. Third, I want to urge you now to protect and sustain the mutual investment that we're making by continuing Greater Green funding when the current round of funding ends in 2013. Two specific Greater Green programs I want to talk about briefly. Invasive species control is an ongoing battle in Johnson Creek watershed. In 2008, the council and the city joined forces to tackle garlic mustard, which is one of many invasive weeds in Johnson Creek watershed. The Watershed Council is focusing on private streamside areas where we have long-term existing relationships with landowners. In 2010, we treated 19 acres of garlic mustard infestations. The city brings the capacity and responsibility for effective roadside treatment. In 2010, the city treated 8 acres along 7 miles of public right-of-way in Johnson Creek watershed. The point, together we're managing garlic mustard more efficiently. You take the roads, we'll take the waterways, with each of us allocating our resources where it makes the most sense according to our strengths. The second area I'd like to highlight is conservation land acquisition. Through Greater Green alone, 48 new acres of ecologically valuable land is now in public ownership in Johnson Creek watershed. Add the land acquired by Metro and Portland Parks and Recreation, and it's over 225 new acres protected in Johnson Creek watershed since 2006. A group of nonprofits, including the Watershed Council, and all of the 7 jurisdictions in the watershed are working together to build on these achievements. We are in the midst of creating a shared watershed-wide land acquisition strategy for Johnson Creek that identifies 7,200 acres of land important for livability, salmon and wildlife habitat, stormwater management, and adapting successfully to climate change. By February, we will have a completed acquisition plan that we will take to funders to secure additional resources to acquire and protect important lands in Johnson Creek watershed. And we could not do this without Greater Green funds as leverage. Final point, most of these newly acquired lands need to be restored and then maintained after being restored. The Watershed Council is adopting these public lands as stewardship sites. For example, we just adopted a 6-acre grade of green parcel purchased on Veterans Creek, which is a tributary to Johnson Creek. We bring staff resources and volunteers to these sites. We help to restore and maintain them. We take on this work because we value these lands and we value what the city has done to protect these lands. So thanks again for providing the funding for the Greater Green Initiative. And please remember that it is part of a long-term investment that we are making together. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Scott?
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and City Council. My name is Scott Fogarty. I'm Executive Director with Friends of Trees. I want to begin this morning by thanking you for your vision of green infrastructure investment by conceptualizing and investing in the Greater Green Initiative. The initiative set a standard for green infrastructure investment across the country, while at the same time providing much-needed ecosystem services benefits at a lower cost in our community. By investing in sustainable, long-term green options to address key infrastructure needs, you set a local, state, and national precedent on the values we place on integrating the natural environment within the built environment, and thus providing cost-effective, high-impact systems that deliver needy ecosystem services to the City of Portland. Our role in Greater Green Initiative is to help plant 83,000 street and yard trees over 5 years to help reduce stormwater impacts in the Willamette River. This initiative represents an economically proactive measure in addressing current and future stormwater needs using trees instead of pipes. And we are all well on our way to meeting these goals. Though we are facing hurdles both foreseen and unforeseen, we are also seeing opportunities that we never thought existed, including expanded partnerships with ODOT and Metro and continued relationships with local leaders, including Portland General Electric, the Oregonian, the Standard, and most recently, the Portland Timbers. We remain steadfast in our commitment to meet the goals laid out before us. And probably the coolest thing about this initiative, other than meeting thousands of volunteers and homeowners on cold, wet, and elected officials on cold, wet, muddy weekends in the fall and in the winter, the coolest thing is probably the multiple positive externalities and benefits that Greater Green has leveraged and continues to leverage both directly related to the initiative and outside the goals of the initiative. I'm specifically talking about job creation and retention that are direct results of Greater Green and the social capital created by recruiting, training, and educating thousands of volunteers. I am also talking about community equity by providing services, education, and opportunities in communities of color, unemployment, and low canopy cover. We use minority subcontractors like Verde, Focus Point Communication, and EnviroIssues on all of our contracts, which have in turn created more education about our natural systems and opportunities for advancement in the environmental field in those communities. Over the past 3 years, the number of trees Friends of Trees has planted in Portland has nearly tripled, predominantly in neighborhoods with canopy covers below 20% and that are below medium income household levels. We have increased neighborhood participation by 12% overall and have leveraged increased corporate and foundation support for this initiative. Portland is known nationally for having overall canopy percentage growth over the past 30 years in the city, resulting in millions of dollars of benefits to citizens, while most other cities have experienced considerable loss. With the influx of new residents and the pressures on development, or conversely, in the downtime of development, we must strengthen our commitment to stemming the tide of canopy loss by continuing to grow partnerships that engage citizens in community benefit opportunities across the city and that provide jobs, especially in our neediest neighborhoods. I have personally given several presentations around the country to other cities about this initiative, and those cities want to learn from our public-private partnerships that we've developed here in Portland and in many cases want to replicate those. Again, thank you very much. We are very excited about the investment you have made in our urban forest and are pleased to see the tree code revision recommendation coming out of the Urban Forestry Commission. We encourage you to continue to invest in green infrastructure and green environmental services projects because not only are they economically and environmentally sound, they are socially responsible. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott. Bob?
Good morning. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society, and I also want to thank you for your leadership in green stormwater and sustainable stormwater strategies. Audubon's been involved in the policy end of this going back more than 20 years, first through the work of Mike Houck, who's here today, and then starting in 2001 when I became the Urban Conservation Director through me as well. And we served on a ton of committees. We were on the Watershed Science Advisory Committee since 2001. It was just terminated this year. Served as the chair of that for a while. We've been on innumerable budget committees, on the new Greater Green Committee, on the Terrestrial Strategy Committee, and countless subcommittees as well. And I think that work's actually really important. I think it's really been I congratulate BES for their effective leadership on this. We serve on a lot of public committees for a lot of bureaus. And of all the ones we serve on, these have been the most valuable, in my opinion. They've done an outstanding job of making that time worthwhile, following through, doing an iterative process that actually goes somewhere. So I really want to congratulate Dean and the staff on a very successful long-term process. And I want to specifically note Mary Wall, who really, I think, led the effort and just did an outstanding job, and she will be missed. When I became the Urban Conservation Director at Audubon, we put all the things we were doing up on the board, and I started looking for things we could cut. You're always looking for things, you know, to focus in on. And the first thing I tried to cut was green sustainable stormwater. And I kept erasing it from the whiteboard, and I'd come back the next morning, and it would be back up. And I finally went to Mike, and I said, why are you erasing this? Or why do you keep writing it back up? And he said, well, you'll understand. You know, this is... It may not seem like it's right within Audubon's mission of biodiversity, but it's really what's going to transform the landscape. This is really where we get into every nook and cranny and really create sustainable urban landscapes, and you'll see that as you go forward. One other thing that Mike kept repeating to me as well is as I started working on it, I would go to him and I would show him the things we were working on in various committees, and he'd say, well, this is good, but you know, we did this 10 years ago. We came up with these ideas, and if we'd implemented them 10 years ago, it would be way ahead of the game. And as I look back through the record, it was clear that we had repeatedly sort of gone over the same ground, done a lot of pilot projects, but we hadn't moved to that landscape-level implementation. And so in 2005, when the watershed plan was adopted, I came before you, and we challenged you, and we said, you know, this is a great plan, but honestly, there's a stack of great plans behind it, and if we don't fund it, it's just going to sit on a shelf, and we'll be back here doing the process again. And I really give credit to Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Adams for making the decision and recognizing that it was time to fund it. First, with the Watershed Investment Fund, we were really excited at $250,000, I think, the first year, super excited at $500,000 the second, and then we jumped to $55 million in the third. So a pretty amazing leap. But what I think is so exciting is that we're moving from pilot projects, sort of nice to do and scatter around the city, to landscape level implementation, and that's really where we need to be at. So I want to look forward for a couple of seconds and just put a few things on your radar screen. Things I think we need to be thinking about, priorities, bringing new groups into the mix. You've already heard some of the examples. There's some great partnerships going on. There's a lot more opportunities in front of us. Audubon's looking forward to partnering the city, for example, on our backyard certification program, which gets into backyards in a way that I think the city hasn't been able to do in the past. We visited over 500 backyards last year. We had a waiting list of over 150 yards on who want to get certified to do sustainable stormwater restoration, remove invasives. Secondly, we need to continue to focus, I think, on three things. Implementation, of course, but also monitoring and evaluation. It's easy to lose those two pieces. But if we want to be credible and we want to improve, those two pieces have to be funded as well. And I think that's really critical to set benchmarks and make sure we're really having the effect on the landscape that we want to have. So I would really focus in on implementation, monitoring, and evaluation. Third, continuing to fund this. It does run out in 2013. I know there's talk about whether we put it into just integrate it into the whole budget or we keep it as a Greater Green program. I would encourage you to consider keeping it as a discrete package. I think that's really allowed the community to get involved, created transparency, allowed folks to track it, setting those benchmarks, I think has really brought in the community in a way that hasn't happened previously and builds momentum in a way that if it's hidden in the budget, you can't really see. And then fourth, focusing on working with the Intertwine and this regional effort and integrating our work with the rest of the region. There's going to be a meeting here next week where we're going to kick off the creation of a biodiversity strategy, and I hope some of your staff will be able to attend that meeting. I'll end by just saying that, you know, these green stormwater strategies are, in some sense, a reflection of the fact that we didn't do things right in the first place. As we redevelop, we're going back and doing things better, greener, cheaper. But the reality is that a lot of the costs we're incurring today could have been avoided if, in fact, we had done it right 40, 50 years ago. We just didn't know any better. We do know better now. So I would also focus in on some of the natural resource protection opportunities that are in front of us, like Hayden Island, like River Plan, like Airport Futures, where we have an opportunity to protect the landscape, do it right from the get-go. That's the cheapest and most effective way. So I'll end there, and I just want to thank you for your leadership on this.
Thank you. Dave?
excuse me. Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of the council. Dave McAllister. I'm with Parks and Portland Parks and Recreation. I'm the city nature manager. Parks has a responsibility for our urban forest and for over 7,000 acres of natural area in the city. And obviously, we depend heavily on the partnership with the Bureau of Environmental Services. It's been an historic partnership and one that we value greatly. Grade to Green has really allowed us to enhance that partnership, and I'm very thankful for the leadership of both the mayor and Commissioner Saltzman. I want to bring up four specific areas where I think we've really benefited from this program in respect to the programs that I oversee. We have an aggressive target to increase the urban canopy to about 33%, and this tree planting effort has really allowed us to kickstart that effort and help us reach those targets. It is a performance measure that Parks takes very seriously, and this partnership in that area, along with the nonprofits that we work with, has been really vital. I might also add that there is a community forestry element to this, in which we've been out there engaging the community at large much more through the cooperation of VES and through these Greater Green Funds. So it's been really a good area for us to get an enhancement in the urban forest. Secondly, in 2008, the council approved our natural area acquisition strategy. And what we've been able to do is use these metro local share funds to go up and acquire some very important natural areas throughout the city, ones that we've targeted for a long time through the acquisition strategy. The money that's been available through Greater Green has allowed us to partner and leverage those dollars that we've had access to with Greater Green dollars and actually allow us to accelerate our strategy and also accomplish many of the objectives that of the watershed management plan. So that's been really a good partnership in that area. Our natural area management, we have enhancement of both protection, and then we want to restore many of these areas. We tackle it in two areas, one from the lower end in which we aggressively try to revegetate areas that are severely degraded, and the Greater Green program has been very helpful in that area. Danella mentioned the Protect the Best program, which is our particular program that looks at keeping our really important and highest quality natural areas in a good condition, as well as working down from the top to start improving the areas that are slightly degraded. And that's another area where Greater Green has been tremendously helpful. And finally, I'd like to mention a program that I think we in Parks, who are involved in kids and involved in youth, really, really have appreciated it, and it's this Youth Conservation Corps that Greater Green has been very important and an important collaborator in. And through that program, we're starting to reach kids at risk, kids that need help, and involve them in both active ability to work in their city, to learn about their natural areas. We have them working in our No Ivy League program. We have them working and helping us plant trees in the city. And so that's just been just wonderful. And I don't think we would have gotten there at all if it hadn't been for Greater Green. So I want to thank all of you today for your help in this area.
Thank you all for your leadership and partnership. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if we had anybody.
Okay. Anyone signed up?
We do. We have four people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Connie Ashbrook, Ray Espana, and Tony Jones.
Why did he wait 3 hours? Hi, welcome. We've got a concert. You just need to give us your first and last name. Tell us what group you're representing or organization, and that clock will help you count down 3 minutes.
Okay. Mayor Adams, commissioners, it's a pleasure to be here with you. My name is Ray Espana. I'm the director of community development for NEA, the Native Youth and Family Center. It's always a blessing to be with you and share today, kind of speaking in support of the great work in terms of the Greater Green Initiative. I kind of want to just change my remarks a little bit in light of what I think is maybe a bit missing in terms of the presentation today. I want to acknowledge Scott's commentary on the equity issues, the item of addressing specifically disenfranchised communities, communities of color that could be impacted. Unfortunately, in the presentation of the slideshow, there seemed to be a lack of information or focus on benefits that I think need to be integrated, and I firmly believe that each of you are firmly committed to these issues of equity and advancement. So I think it's both a catalyzing effort, an initiative to create not just environmental assets, but it's an opportunity to catalyze equity advancement as well. And I would hope that you consider raising the expectation to get some feedback on future updates about that progress on issues of equity, job creation, contracting opportunities, neighborhoods impact. And I just wanted to divert from that briefly. But today I'm speaking very much in support of the work that has been initiated. I stand with colleagues today who have that equity focus as well. You'll be hearing from them directly. One specific thing that NEA has wanted to acknowledge, and that is we're very much interested in the eco-roofs and appreciate the contracting opportunities and reaching out to agencies of color who may own some property or buildings that we could actually provide a site for an eco-roof. So NEA is one of those sites that will try to look at what we can do. We may have some engineering challenges, but we're willing to look at that. And with that, I just want to just close my comments, but to say that we're very, very engaged in looking how we could advance, NEA could advance our interest and attention into the not just the Greater Green Initiative, but just broadly the development of environmental assets and equity issues throughout the community, and specifically in the Cully Concordia neighborhood. We're very active, and so you'll be hearing more from us collectively. I'm doing some organizing amongst organizations to kind of to give you a sense of presence. So to that, I just want to say thank you today. I appreciate you your efforts in this regard. Thank you.
I like your suggestion to include in all of the reports an equity component on job creation and contracting and neighborhood impacts. I think that's a really good suggestion.
Good morning, Mayor. Commissioners, my name is Tony Jones. I'm the Executive Director of Metropolitan Contractor Improvement Partnership. We provide business capacity building and training focused on historically underutilized businesses, and we applaud the Greater Green Program. The first thing I want to comment on is that we applaud that there's a procurement process that strongly commits to economic equity. a key element in the triple bottom line approach for communities of color, in addition to environment and economics. Having a process that allows 30 points for equity is a more appropriate balance to have historically underutilized business participation and community of color participation with regard to minority women workforce. You have to be intentional about equity. You have to be intentional about that level of participation. 30 points demonstrates that you're serious. 10 points in an RFP process does not. It really gets it kind of brushed over. So I really applaud that because it makes the proposers think about a intentional strategy that gets you to some of the goals you want to see. A great example of this innovative, inclusive partnership is forged in the EcoRoof RFP with Snyder Roofing and Verde and other partners. We really appreciate that in this effort to install EcoRoofs on existing commercial buildings. The collaborative brings out the best in our community. We're working with an experienced contractor, Snyder Roofing, partnering to include Verde Social Enterprise to provide workforce opportunities to communities of color and women. We think that that is a very important component to make sure that that's happening up front. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of participating in a meeting with Verde and the project manager from Snyder Roofing. And because the RFP was intentional about the importance of equity, it wasn't a arm wrestling meeting about what are you going to do to get minorities and women involved. It was how are we going to do it? Let's get it done. Who do you have that can do the work? What are the barriers? What can we do to make it happen? And it was great that we could share information with the project manager, who immediately is saying, I'm not only looking forward to working with these contractors on the EcoRoof program, we can work with them in our other private sector opportunities. And that's really what we need in communities of color, not just when someone's watching, but when there's other private sector opportunities that we can continue to provide those economic opportunities to communities of color. So we really applaud it. We really think it's the way to go. Real quickly, what's really important is wealth creation and living wage jobs. And what's really important to me is that our children can say to your children, hey, we had an opportunity, or my family, my members in my family had an opportunity to actually actively participate in environmental sustainability, making our community better. And my dad, my mom, my aunt, my uncle had an opportunity to build this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor, Council members. My name is Connie Ashbrook, and I'm Executive Director of Oregon Tradeswoman. And I want to thank you for your leadership on the Greater Green Initiative. And I want to thank my community partners here at the table. Oregon Tradeswoman feels like the Greater Green Initiative is an important part of Portland's economic development and commitment to the environment. We also want to appreciate the way it makes sure the benefits do reach out to women and people of color through the attention to the diversity in the contract and diversity in workforce. As folks might know, we run a pre-apprenticeship program for women, building women's economic wherewithal through the job training. And that includes training on green building, including eco-roof building and stormwater management techniques. And as part of that, because of that training, four of our graduates have gone to work for Snyder Roofing. So that's a real impact. And I want to thank all of you because the Economic Opportunity Initiative of the City of Portland also helps fund our training. I want to close by asking for your continued attention and direction to the bureaus you manage to continue to make diversity a strong point of not only the Greater Green, but the other Public Works Initiative. This is a return on investment, not just a cleaner and greener city, but also a city that has more prosperous residents who contribute to a more prosperous city. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Anyone else?
The last person who signed up is Alan Hippolito.
Mr. Hippolito, welcome back.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor Adams, council members. It's good to be here to celebrate one of our growing number of triple bottom line projects.
So I'd like to take a second just to celebrate in detail some of more of these equity results that we've had to date, and also look toward those in the future that we can realize together. Verde, our goal, as you know, is to build environmental wealth in disadvantaged communities. We define environmental wealth very broadly. Traditional resources like clean air and clean water and habitat, parks, technologies like stormwater management, weatherization, solar renewables, and opportunity for education and job training and employment. And so we've been fortunate enough to participate in Greater Green in a number of ways. We're a subcontractor to Friends of Trees, installing hundreds of street trees for them and growing trees for the project. Through that, we built our capacity and were able to successfully bid on a BES offering for street tree plantings as well, competitively bid. And as mentioned, we're working with the responders to the Greater Green EcoRoof RFP, Snyder Roofing, TerraFlexus, Tufels. And I really wanted to share those four goals that we were able to put into that project. One was, as Ray mentioned, new EcoRoofs in communities of color at recognized community institutions, so like ANEA and Urban League, and Hacienda CDC or T Center, at places where people go all the time, right, so they can see what is that. Oh, it's an EcoRoof. It's in our community. We help build it. Capacity building opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses, both construction and professional services, and then on the job training opportunities for our own folks. But we all know that this green economy offers exponentially greater opportunities for jobs than we could ever create in our little social enterprises at Verde. So I'm happy to share that in these earlier examples, we were able to achieve these kind of results, as Tony mentioned, because there were clear social equity guidelines in the RFPs, in the invitation to bid, and the responders had to make commitments in that regard. So I'm just here to celebrate the leadership that was necessary to achieve those ends and honor the successes, and let you know that we're looking forward to working together with your support with the project team, both in their advisory committee and otherwise, to extend these benefits and requirements to the other areas of Greater Green, like 1% for Green, like the EcoRoof grants. And when we do that, you can see we're creating placement opportunities for the job training programs that we're already funding from other parts of government and other partners like EOI. We're creating growth opportunities for historically underutilized businesses. We're building environmental wealth. And we're creating new constituencies for environmental protection. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? All right. Did you want the council to accept this report?
Yes.
So I'll take that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on accepting the report, item number 1419?
Leonard?
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for this continuing, really excellent ongoing work creating sustainability in all of our practices in the city. I think it's a great example. Aye.
Fritz?
Yes, thanks, Commissioner Saltzman, and Director Dean Marriott, for your leadership in this project, and as we've just heard, for implementing on the ground our shared goals for social equity as well as environmental responsibility and economic development. And thanks, then Commissioner Adams, now Mayor Adams, for continuing to support this. This, as we've heard, has been more cost effective for taxpayers as well as making our city more beautiful. Thank you, Danella Cargill, and your staff, Megan Callahan, and Patty Howard in my office, for telling us more about this. And finally, but not at all least, the volunteers. And as in all the watershed councils, the Friends Group, the Trust for Public Lands, and others, our community partners, as Scott Fogarty said, we're not just building trees and planting swales, which are the vegetated ditches. We used to call them vegetated ditches. Now lots of people know that they're swales. But as Scott said, we're building community. We could hire people to do the work of putting the trees in, but then you wouldn't have the joy of struggling on a Saturday morning to get the root ball into the hole at the right height and various other joyful things, which does not only build a sense of community amongst the 10 volunteers who may be helping with planting that particular tree, but it makes a beautiful street, and then I keep going back to my trees and making sure that somebody's watering them to make sure that they're doing all right, because they're you take ownership of our community, and that's part of what this program does. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
First, Mayor, I would like to correct a grievous oversight in this body, since we have an honored guest here that Commissioner Fritz has neglected to introduce. And so I just want to acknowledge that Amanda's mother is sitting in the back, and we should welcome her to our council proceedings.
Hi, how are you? Welcome.
And we had the pleasure of spending some time together. She joined Amanda and me on Friday during a tour of the Columbia Slough. So welcome again. I'll just echo what's already been said about this. First, I think it's a model presentation, Dean, to you and your staff. Thank you, both the PowerPoint and the backup materials. Very clear, and to Dan, congratulations.